To fully immerse yourself in the world of rock and roll is to truly fall for the devil's bait and switch trick. Lured by the promise of swashbuckling adventure, endless loot, and exciting trysts, we all fell for it. Truth is, the clubs smell like piss, you live in constant fear of your gear getting ripped off, and everyone has body odor. Hail, hail, rock and roll! Also, tired maxims that celebrate alcohol are most abound within rock and roll. Almost all bands have partaken in this celebration of libations, and to varying degrees of success. I'm not judging here, but I would choose another drink. I've always felt sprightly, a little more energy than required, so to speak. And as I get older, I haven't noticed any ebb. Maybe there's a little more caution employed from experience and trial and error, but I still jump out of bed every morning as if a piranha has bitten me. I can go from dream state to strike position in less than 2 minutes, and that usually happens every morning. However, I've heard that isn't very healthy. There is only one drink that can soothe and temper without dousing the flame. It can calm you down while pepping you up. It's coffee. I must admit, I only got into coffee in the last 10 or 12 years. Till then, I never understood the fascination and the whole culture around it. To me, the caffeine that flowed through my veins when I'd take a sip was indistinguishable from my own blood flow. But one day, like the flick of a light switch, I got it. Since then, I've come to understand the dependence of coffee on the road and how its ability to placate nerves while speeding them up all at the same time easily falls in line with the whole rock and roll aesthetic. Taking it at face value, it's best served black and bitter, it's hot, it burns, and it makes you take a dump. All essential grist for a hard rock mill. So, having said that, it makes complete sense to me that Dead Sled Coffee has appeared on the coffee scene. Co-owned by guitarist AC Slade, Dead Sled Coffee enters the coffee fray with an emphasis on hearty-tasting Joe while turning down the pretension often associated with signature brands. If coffee is supposed to be the reliable, attested backbone that one needs to help get through the day, AC Slade is the rock and roll equivalent. As bassist, guitarist in Dope, Murder Dolls, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, AC has been the rock behind the rock. His most recent gig, playing guitar in The Misfits, is a well-earned appointment. There is nobody that can deny this. So I recently chatted with him to discuss coffee, most notably his Dead Sled Coffee Company, his experience so far as guitarist in The Misfits, and how both of us participated in Paul Miles' 2010 book, Sex Tips from Rock Stars. And I must make a mention here that the one and only Des Cadena makes a quick appearance here, too, to spice up the episode. Never thought he would pop in on it, but he's there. Much like how Jonah Falco made a guest appearance on one of Damien Abraham's episodes and how Duff McKagan was on the Tad Doyle episode for a brief moment. If anyone's keeping score, there was indeed a gap between this episode and the last episode with Christopher Ward, episode number 184. And that was only because we were recording and mixing our new record, which will be out next year. And then gearing up for our fall-winter European tour, which I'm on right now. So lots needed to be done, and I couldn't devote my full attention to this episode with AC until it was all taken care of. But now it has, so here I am. Anyways, thanks a lot for everyone who has left a review in the iTunes store. It does help the podcast, so thank you very much. Please keep them coming. And please, if you have the time, leave a review if you haven't yet. There's been some great ones, and I really appreciate all the reviews in all the iTunes stores in all the countries and territories. So here it is. I hope you enjoy my talk with AC Slade. He's this episode's guest on the Danko Jones podcast, and it starts now. The Danko Jones podcast is the best around. Nick Flanagan and his Dankos go out to love for free. I'm so glad I like to sometimes tear me in from fucked up. Stop playing hang down, down.
There's only one podcast listen to the Danko Jones Podcast.
I know that disco and rock and roll aren't supposed to mix, and we all know how great a rock guitarist Danko is, but when I accompanied him one night to a disco nightclub, I watched in awe as Danko tore up the dance floor. He was like Danny Terrio, John Travolta, and Adrian Zemed all rolled into one. When he was finished dancing, the music stopped and everyone applauded. The two of us immediately left the club and ended up in a blues bar where I watched Danko jam on CCR and Chuck Berry covers till dawn. It was amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, get ready because the Danko Jones Podcast starts now!
Good morning, AC.
What's up, homie?
Oh, nothing much, man. It's good to hear your voice. I am on my second cup of coffee, and I thought I'd let you know that.
Awesome. Is it our coffee?
No, it's not. I mean, it's just the coffee here at the studio.
Okay.
But that, I guess we can jump right into it, because that's what I really wanted to have you on the podcast to talk about. You reached out to me, I guess, a couple of months ago about this coffee that you have called Dead Sled Coffee. But doing a little research on it, I noticed that it's different than a lot of people who are, you know, in show business, music, film, etc., who put out signature coffee lines. You own this company.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. I mean, that was kind of, this isn't a license on my name or anything like that. This is something that we are building from the ground up.
Yes. And that's what I thought was very interesting about Dead Sled Coffee. Now, obviously, you are a coffee connoisseur. I am merely a coffee drinker. I drink it black and, some days it'll be one cup, some days it'll be four, but even some days I won't even have coffee. So I can't really consider myself a connoisseur. You, on the other hand, have to be a connoisseur. Am I right?
I would call myself that, you know. But in a way, that was kind of the whole idea with Dead Sled, really, was, you know, it's like, you know, a guy like you and me, we're kind of a no bullshit rock and roll type guys. And we go to these specialty coffee shops. And there's a totally pretentious douchebag behind the counter, but that dude's got banging coffee. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so the whole concept was like, God, I can't stand these people, but fuck, I love their coffee. And that's why we started Dead Sled, because it was kind of like, well, how can we get pretentious free amazing coffee? I mean, our coffee is in the top 20% of all the coffees harvested. But people don't need to know that. They just need to know that it's awesome.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the lengths that we go to and how particular we are about what we put our name on is up there.
So what is your, relationship with coffee? Like, how does it live in your life?
Well, it's the nectar of the gods. You know, for me, I remember when I was a kid, like, this is going to sound crazy, but I've always been a coffee drinker. Just like I remember exactly where I was when I decided I wanted to be a musician. I was at an Iron Maiden concert and they were playing Number of the Beast and all the lights went off right on the ba-da-da-da-ba and all the pyro went off and the lights went off and everything. That's how I felt when I drank my first cup of coffee when I was like 8. It was the exact same type experience. My family had a business out of their house. They actually had two. And so there was always just like these cold cups of coffee around. I'm like, yeah, what's that all about? And so I was like, let me take a hit of that. And I took a slug of coffee and it was ba-da-da-da-da. And Bruce Dickinson screamed that wail and that was it.
Now, how do you take your coffee?
Black. But you know what, man? You can, you know, there's a lot of those you know, more pretentious barista type guys. It's like, oh, you can't drink this you can't drink this with cream or sugar. I had a barista in Russia. Like, this was like this super high end coffee shop. And he's like, oh, you want to try this? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, I think I want a little coffee. I think I want a little milk. And I said, like, you cannot have milk in this coffee. And he was like, not going to give it to me. And it was so humorous just because of his accent. But, you know, there's a lot of people who will frown on that. I don't care. I just want you to enjoy it, you know. Mm-hmm. But for me, I drink it black, though. Yeah.
Yes, and I drink it black as well, but also not because I want to come off like that pretentious guy that you're talking about. It's partly health reasons. Cause I started drinking coffee with like 3 heaps of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I slowly weaned myself off it just because it's just not healthy to do, especially if you're drinking, you know, even 2 cups or more a day. That's even 1 cup. I mean, it's terrible for your health.
Yeah.
So I finally weaned it took a long time, but I've been drinking black coffee now for a couple of years. And I love it. I don't miss the sugar or the milk in it at all. So
no, and it's funny you should say that, because that's how I started drinking my coffee black as well. Is like, you know, hey, I'm not as young as I once was, obviously, and you know, I don't metabolize as quick as I used to. So it was like, you know, staying in shape was harder, and it was like, okay, like you started reading about white sugar and refined sugar. It's like, mm-hmm. How that stuff's crap, and it's like, well, I'm drinking 4 cups of coffee a day and putting, you know, 2 scoops of sugar in there. And so, yeah, it was actually for health reasons at first too. But, you know, a lot of the coffee purists will tell you that you can, you know, taste the notes better, and you can really taste the coffee better when you drink it black. But I say however you want, it's cool. But, you know, like it was initially the same for me too, though, health reasons.
Yeah, and the reason, like I can't taste anything, man. It's just like how, you know, we're in the middle of recording our new album. I can't tell if the chords are, the second chord in the chorus is out of tune and I gotta retrack it. I can't tell. So, I mean, I go through life very bluntly. And with coffee, I can't taste the finer, like you're saying, notes of the beans or whatever. But what I do feel is a little burst of energy. I think a lot of people use coffee for, and that's what I use it for, in the morning, or, you know, maybe in the, like a little after lunch, just to get me through till dinner. I'll take another cup. But that's what I use coffee for, and it's become a habit now.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why, you know, when you reached out to me about Dead Sled, I was like, oh, this is an interest outside of music that interests me. So yeah, I wanted to have you on the podcast, but just having this new angle is a little more interesting than the average, like, so your new album's coming out kind of thing.
Yeah.
So how did you even start Dead Sled Coffee?
Well, a friend of mine, she hit me up. I have had a break in touring for kind of the first time in 25 years between Misfits shows. And so there's a period of downtime. And I've had a couple of different things that I tried to get off the ground. I mean, you know, it's like we live in this world where we're dependent upon touring cycles for our income, mm-hmm. you know? And I've been trying to keep an eye on, like, okay, what's something I want to do? And I thought for a while it might be photography, which I still love.
Right.
But that's definitely not something you can count on for income. It's like the rate behind musicians as far as people that are taking the hit these days, it's photographers. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll do photography to make money. And it was like, okay, yeah, that's a terrible idea. Like, I don't want to do that. The only place where you make money with that is weddings, just like wedding bands. So it was like, yeah, I don't want to be in a wedding band, and I don't want to be a wedding photographer. So screw that. So my friend hit me up, Diana, and she's kind of a empty nester. I've known her since, you know, God, we used to go to Limelight here in the city together and all the rock clubs. And she's becoming an empty nester. She's had kids, and She's like, AC, I got this idea. And I said, okay, what? She's like, I want to start a coffee company selling coffee out of a hearse. What do you think? And I'm like, I'm going to brew a couple pots of coffee, go buy the hearse, and I'll meet you in 15 minutes. Let's do it. Like, I was like, this is me. I'm like, this is, I am totally sold. I am totally on board. And unfortunately, we had to take a step back a little bit because apparently the city of New York and Department of Licensing and Hygiene and all those things, you just can't grab a hearse and throw some coffee urns in it and start selling coffee, apparently. So they kind of frowned on that, but we're still in the process of doing that. But it's not as easy as we had thought. And, you know, hearses are very old, so they have kind of antiquated suspension systems. You have to put a lot of water in these things. Water is heavy. So we're still going to do it. It's just going to take a little bit of time. But at that point, we kind of backpedaled a little bit. And it was like, okay, we still have a great concept. How we still have a great concept. What can we do in the meantime? And so I kind of looked at myself and I was like, well, what do I really know about coffee? Like, what do I actually know about coffee? And where are the voids that I kind of see in the market? And so I started educating myself and, you know, God, I keep going to these coffee cuppings and tasting and education things. I just went to one yesterday. But, you know, I went to 4 different ones. I sampled 60 different coffees.
Wow.
Met with like, you know, I'm in the New York area. And so It's like I met with the 6 top roasters and yeah, that's what we did to narrow it down. And so we're selling stuff online right now. And the whole goal was to, like I said, sell the top 20% of coffee to people who really just are like, man, I just want an amazing cup of coffee, you know?
And so Diane is your partner. You also have
Diana,
and you also have another partner, Michael, right?
Yeah, Mike Whittles. Yeah, that's Diana's husband.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So it's the three of you. Am I right about that?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So now, if you're going to sell coffee out of a hearse, could you not – were you thinking that the hearse would travel around? Can you not make a stationary hearse kind of thing? Like
once again, pop-up stand? That's a pretty good idea. That was kind of the idea, was to probably a lot in Toronto and in Vancouver where you are now. You know, it's like you've got food trucks.
Yeah.
So the idea was like a food truck selling coffee. So we're still going to do it.
Yeah,
we're still going to do it. It's just a matter of the conversion is really expensive. And let's face it, a cup of coffee is $2. So you got to sell a lot of those $2 cups of coffee to start seeing a profit, because there's the conversion of the hearse. I mean, a good espresso machine is several $1,000 right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, getting the licensing, getting the permits, all that stuff. It was like, let's back it up to making our own coffee first, and then we'll get into the hearse. So yeah, we're still going to do it. It's still going to be a thing.
But it's more than just coffee. You've got the grounds, the beans,
mm-hmm.
but you've also got cold pressed coffee that year.
Cold brew.
Cold brew.
Mm-hmm.
So now the time that I got the biggest speed rush from a cup of coffee was when I had like a cold brewed coffee, like cold pressed. Am I getting it wrong? Am I getting the terms wrong?
No, there's cold pressed, and then cold pressed is usually with juices, but cold brew.
Cold. So it was coffee. It was like coffee,
right.
But it was like cold.
Yeah,
and it wasn't iced coffee. It wasn't like it wasn't the kind that you get at Starbucks. This was like cold pressed coffee, and I got the mm-hmm. biggest. Like I started shaking.
Yeah,
which I loved. I loved it. So is that what you guys are doing? Do I have that?
Yeah, we do that. We do that too. We have what we call our body bags. And so what that is you roast the coffee slightly differently for cold brew coffee. So it's a pouch. Our body bags are a pouch. You put it in a pitcher of water, let it seep overnight. You wake up in the morning and you've got a pitcher of cold brew coffee waiting for you. And you're right about the caffeine. It's there's more caffeine in cold brew simply because of the extraction process that the coffee goes through. So there's definitely more caffeine in cold brewed coffee.
And you also do teas as well.
Yeah. That's kind of funny because we didn't want to do a tea.
Yeah.
But the whole idea behind this company is that it's very rock and roll. You know, like I said, we put the racing stripe in the bag and skulls and stuff. And I was actually sampling some coffees one day, and there happened to be this Kentucky bourbon tea there. And I'm like, a bourbon tea? And I mean, I don't drink anymore, but that's very rock and roll. I'm like, a bourbon tea? I'm like, that's kind of badass, man, you know? And so I found the packaging, which it's the same packaging that they actually used to put wax cylinders in before there was vinyl. Which, did you know that there was something before vinyl? I mean, you're like the vinyl junkie.
Oh, no, I didn't know anything before vinyl.
Yeah, before vinyl, the music was on these wax cylinders. And so I found the containers that these wax cylinders went in, and we put the tea in them. And so, yeah, so we got the Kentucky bourbon tea, and it's kind of a tip of the hat at, you know, Jack Daniels and stuff like that. And it tastes amazing. I'm not a tea drinker. Yeah, it's like, this isn't the queen's tea. This isn't your grandma's tea. This is like a badass tea. And I'm sure that you could make it an Irish tea, so to speak, too, if you chose to.
So what is the process of getting the coffee? Obviously, you're in New York. How do you guys package and make Dead Sled coffee? Without divulging any secrets, of course, but
yeah.
How is that whole process?
We don't have any secrets. So we have a green... there's a green supplier here in Jersey, and I was just at their warehouse yesterday, actually. And they have an entire warehouse of they're a green bean importer. And so we do cuppings and tastings of, like, the newest stuff that they've gotten in. And so we figure out what we like, and then we get it to our roaster. I go to the roaster, and we decide on what level of roast we want. And then they put it in a bag for us, and then I bring it back, and we ship directly out of here.
So it is a very, very signature blend of coffee.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when I'm drinking Dead Sled coffee, I'm drinking the coffee that you personally have earmarked and okayed.
Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, what I wanted to ask you about was how do you feel... Or what do you feel is the connection between coffee and rock and roll? Because a lot of Dead Sled coffee, it leads with a lot of rock and roll imagery, like the skull, just the font, just the titles itself. So what do you feel are the connections between the two?
It goes back to, did the Grateful Dead or Cream have a song called Black Coffee? I'm not a classic rock guy, but somebody back then had a song called Black Coffee. Yeah,
I'm not a Grateful Dead guy
by
any stretch.
Yeah. Boy, how bummed out were you as a teenager when you first heard the Grateful Dead, right?
Super bummed out, man.
You know, I was convinced. I was like, they had that Cyclops skull logo,
yeah.
And I was like, this is going to be my new favorite band, and I put it on. I'm like, truckin'? Like, what is this?
What is this?
Vinyl scratch.
Totally. I thought I was the only one who went through that.
No. I was like, this is going to be my new favorite band. Yeah. I haven't heard anything yet.
Totally.
And I put it on. I was like, oh my God, what happened? I'm like, maybe I'm on the wrong RPM. If I speed it up, will this be better? Nope.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you know, and then straight through Black Flag and the Descendants and stuff like that. I think there's two ways of looking at it. One is that there's many ways of looking at it. One is that if you're in the more decadent side of rock and roll, you need to pick me up the next day, you know, the hair of the dog type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're right on the non-decadent side of it, say the more creative or the more political or social conscious type end of punk rock, you know, it's like you got that drive, you got that get me going type thing, you know, and that Ian MacKaye type, you know, vigor for life, you know, so you need that pick me up to get you through the day. So I think those are the two parts of it, you know?
Right, right. I can see the connection. And I guess it's also Dead Sled is graced in black, just like the coffee would be, I suppose.
Exactly.
It makes sense. Now, Diana and Mike, they're also like hard rock, like punk rock, hard rock fans.
Oh, like, absolutely.
So it's also Dead Sled comes from like a musical convergence. So
absolutely.
Speak. Okay. Yeah. I get it. Okay. Yeah, because there's lots of people who have signature brands that I've noticed. Charlie Benante from Anthrax has his. Mm-hmm. David Lynch has his own line, and also James Murphy, from the singer from LCD Sound System, but they have put out stuff with actual brands. You are different because Dead Sled is your brand, but you've put out signature brands for other people through Dead Sled, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, that's correct.
And is it more than one person? Damien Eccles?
Yeah, we did the Damien one. That's our first one. We're working on our second one right now, but the ink hasn't dried.
Okay.
We picked Damien specifically for a lot of reasons. One, you know, Damien's a friend of mine. He's trying to kind of, I mean, obviously everybody knows him from the West Memphis 3, the HBO series Paradise Lost. You know, this is a guy who lost 18 years of his life, and the only way that he could avoid being executed was to accept a plea bargain.
Which
basically, you know, makes him branded a convicted murderer for life, but it got him off death row. So this guy's trying to rebuild his life. He's not ashamed of his past, nor does he want to live in it. And, you know, for me, he's an amazing guy. I don't want to say he needs some help, but it was like, all right, like here's somebody that I can help out and help them realize that they're more than their past. And that's one reason we picked him. Another reason is, you know, he had a really good eye for art. He's, like I said, reinventing himself as an artist. So for us, anybody who does an artist blend, they design on our bags of coffee, there's 5 panels. They design the other 4. So the front is our logo and our real estate, so to speak. And then they design all the other sides. And whatever they want to put on there, it's cool by us. They can put anything they want.
Oh, that's really cool. So he's designed the packaging for his brand of coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course he came for a cupping, and he picked the coffee himself.
Right.
So this wasn't like we picked somebody's name out of a hat.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
Or out of my Rolodex.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like a very specific decision on your part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because the people that we may go with next, they're equally as controversial as Damien. In a very, very different way.
Right.
And it'll probably surprise a lot of people that these people are as particular about their coffee as they have. Like, when I got off the phone with you, I got to send them some samples I picked up yesterday at our Green Buyer to send back to these guys. And this will be the 1, 2, 3. This will be the 5th and 6th round of stuff that I'm sending to them, which is awesome for me. You know, it's like, I think that's cool as hell. So,
yeah, I mean, it's not tedious for you. You don't find that tedious.
Nope. I mean, there's some days where I'm going through roasting, and I find the process that I go through. So, like, let's say our roaster's like, hey, we just got this new batch of, I don't know, coffee from Ethiopia, and it's honey processed instead of the usual other two, which are washed and natural processed. You want to give it a try? And I'll be like, yeah, cool. So they'll send me some, and I'll try it from a French press. I'll try it as a pour over. I'll try it as a drip coffee. I'll try it as an espresso. I'll try it every process that I can. I'll try it as an AeroPress. I'll try it in all the different processes. So the only thing that's tedious to me is like, God, I got to grind more beans. Like, but the tasting process, I love. That's not tedious at all.
Right. Wow. Wow, you know, I love hearing the passion you have for coffee when people talk about coffee. Because, you know, being in the line of work we both are in, there is a nonstop barrage of alcohol discussion. And being a non-drinker myself, I find it boring. But coffee is something that I can participate in. So when I hear someone go super deep into something, even things that I'm not necessarily so into, I really get off and appreciate just how deep and passionate you are for whatever it is. In this case, coffee. So I'm enjoying listening to you talk about the process that you go through trying to get a good cup of coffee into you.
Yeah,
it's
well, you know, and like the, like you were saying before, it's like a lot of people don't. Like when you were talking about the studio thing, like not knowing, you know, if a cord's in or out or not, like we kind of vision ourselves like let me be your Phil Spector and you can be Johnny Ramone. How's that?
You know, right. That's kind of right. Without the gun, without the handgun pointed at me.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, whatever I got to do to sell a cup of coffee, you know.
Right. No, I dig it. And I think my next cup this morning, I will pause a little longer between each sip. Another thing about drinking coffee for me is it also gives me something for my hands to do. And just, it's almost as if it's like a nervous twitch. Like it's just something that I can keep busy with as I'm thinking about something. I mean, I don't know how much of that is acknowledged by coffee drinkers.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's something to say, that nice warm porcelain, you know, like you like that warm porcelain on your tush in the morning, you know, so you got the warm porcelain in your hand, you know.
Right. That's a good way of seeing it. And they don't touch, but eventually they both, one sees the in and the other sees the out almost immediately.
Exactly.
So I guess I have to talk to you because if I post this podcast and I don't mention this, people are going to go, you had him on and you didn't ask him. So I got to ask you, you are in the Misfits. They've reunited. And I got to ask, how? I think a lot of people are wondering, not that you are not capable. That's not what came to my head. How did you get in the band?
Honestly, the universe was conspiring in my favor from many angles. So one was Randy Blythe from Lamb of God.
Oh, I know he's a huge Samhain fan.
Yeah, he had actually put me forward for the Samhain, the very last Samhain reunion, and I was playing with Joan at the time, and so schedule wise it didn't work out. But that from Randy, I was on Glenn's radar, and then through my friend Kevin Wilson, a photographer here in New York City, he had put me on Jerry's radar. But I'd known Jerry for a while because when I was in the Murder Dolls, he came up and did some songs with us a couple times. And then when I started doing the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame stuff with Joan, Jerry was there a lot. And so I was on his radar. And then my buddy Kevin, Dez wasn't in the band any longer, and they were looking for somebody, and Kevin had been lobbying for me. And then, so basically anybody who came in had to have zero history with either camp. I didn't have history with either of them, but I was on the radar. So, so that's how it worked out.
Wow. That does sound like the universe was helping you out. That really does. I mean, from all those angles, that's amazing.
Yeah. I feel like I'm like just in the perfect place. I could not be happier. I couldn't be happier. I feel so blessed.
Those reunion shows were great. I mean, Lombardo's in it too, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I've met Dave once and he couldn't have been nicer. So
yeah.
Was nice that, you know, it's nice when you meet someone you've been listening to for your whole life and they turn out to be super cool. So that was really relieving.
Dude, I gotta tell you, like fanboy moment is like, you know, we had some communal living like while we were doing the rehearsals, you know. And Dave and I got to know each other, and I was making breakfast, and he's like, oh, you know what? He's like, you know what would be a little better? He's like, here, let me make omelets this morning. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh my God, Dave Lombardo's making me an omelet. This rules.
How is he whisking the eggs, man? Like, he must have been, like, doing it at a super fast pace.
Well, hey, but you got to remember, he's originally Cuban, so, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And, I actually, through London May's invite, I actually ended up flying down for the last Sam Hain reunion in Philadelphia. And
awesome.
I guess I would have seen you there, but you weren't in the lineup.
No. And like I said, it worked out better in the end, you know, so.
Yeah, of course. Oh my God, of course. But that's how big a fan I am of, you know, all of Glenn's discography. And London, I met Glenn briefly that night, which was such a thrill. But yeah, so it's been, I didn't know anything about your involvement in the reunion until I started seeing YouTube videos of the first show, the first reunion show, and you were there, your name was mentioned, and I was like, wow, you know what? That's fucking great. I really was very happy for you, genuinely happy that you were in the lineup and you were on stage with them.
Because, well, thank you.
Yes, because if it had only been those three and Dave, it would have been great. But I think what you represent to a lot of us is, okay, we are living through you. Because I think the Misfits, for a lot of people like myself, are one of our favorite bands of all time. And to see like a contemporary up there with them, I can kind of like live through you, if that makes any sense.
For sure.
And
we all get jaded, right?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
There's times where... You know, I always, to use the Paul Stanley quote, it's like, I feel like complaining about doing music for a living is like winning the lottery and complaining about the taxes. That's always stuck with me. But it does become a job. Like, anytime I see some of my music friends post a photo on Instagram or Twitter, and it's a photo of a stage and it says, just another day at the office, that makes me mad. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, no. That's an insult to the people that are in office, that work 9 to 5, that, you know, had to buy an inexpensive guitar through Guitar Center credit cards and are just dying to figure out a way to play for a half hour that night and don't have the guitar that they want and live a life that they don't. And then you're like, oh, this is a day at the office? Dude, that ain't an office. Go swing a hammer. You know, like I always find that really insulting. But there is a part of it where it does become slightly a job, you know, and I think that for guys like us that have been around, being part of the legacy thing, it allows us to be like fans again, you know.
Yeah, I missed my opportunity, but I wanted to post a video of me watching the YouTube videos with you guys, like the first show. And then I wanted to turn to the camera and I would have like tears in my eyes. That's what I just missed it. Cause I came up with the idea like a month later. I was like, oh, I should have done that.
Right.
But I was, like, that's how happy I was.
Do you know Christian from Stone Sour by chance?
No, I don't.
Okay. So Chris and I were in our very first band together. Vampire Love Doll. So we were in like a horror punk band when we were kids. And, you know, Chris's story is great too. Like Chris had a band called, the Chelsea Smiles with Todd Youth.
Oh yeah. I've heard of that band for sure.
Right. So Chris was in the Chelsea Smiles. You know, those guys had, I think, two different record deals, recorded the same record 2 and 3 times, mixed 6 times. They were in like record company hell for years, right, trying to get a record out, and then it just never came out. And then he was going to play in Slash's band, that didn't work out. And so when he got that Stone Sour gig, it was like, hell yeah, man, it's worked out. I mean, they're on tour opening for Ozzy right now. And so when we were doing rehearsals in LA, I was like, hey, is it cool if my buddy Christian comes down? He's in a pretty big band called Stone Sour. And they're like, oh, with Corey Taylor from Slipknot. Yeah, we know who they are. So yeah, that's fine, you know, as long as he doesn't take pictures or whatever. And Chris came, and dude, he's just like smiling from ear to ear, but like trying not to smile, because I know him well enough to be like, dude, you're totally like gushing like a fangirl right now, and this is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine how you must have felt. I mean, wow. Just going through those songs. Ah, man, it's that's amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's really fucking super cool that happened. But yeah. You know, another...
Him and I were 17, and we were playing Angel Fuck. Do you know what I mean? And then there we are in the room.
Fuck. You know? That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is another connection we have, you and I, we were both in this book that came out maybe 7-8 years ago called Sex Tips for Rock Stars. And I think that's how I met you with the author, Paul Miles.
Correct. Yeah.
And that book came out, and I've been asked about that book. I have a copy of it. I've been asked about that book. Oh my! Well, since it came out, like, I'm surprised how it made the rounds. But that was an interesting thing. I mean, I just did an interview over the phone with Paul, and I think I did the interview basically going, I need tips. Like, I don't know if I can give them because I need them myself. You know.
Hold on 1 second. Yeah. Des Cadena from Black Flag is knocking at my door. Hello, oh my God. Hello, Des Cadena from Black Flag.
Hi, AC.
I'm talking to Danko Jones right now.
Oh, say hello.
Des says hello.
Hi, Des.
Danko says hello.
Oh, very good. I'm just going through the mail.
He's going through the mail.
I want to make sure nothing gets thrown away. That.
Okay, I think we're good.
This
Thank
is
you,
all
sir.
Your name
okay.
What's going on, guys?
We're doing an interview.
Oh, and
we're no, it's okay. But
oh,
you're,
no.
You're royalty, dude.
Oh, my God. Yeah, come on.
You're royalty.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Des.
Good luck on that.
Okay. Talk to you later, Des. So Des is my upstairs neighbor.
Because I was just going to say, so, AC, this is just your life. This
I know,
is just,
right?
This is just... You know, 10 o'clock in the morning.
10 wow. o'clock in the morning. That does Kadena's, you know, dropping off the mail, you know? Yeah.
That's awesome.
So where were we? Sex tips from rock stars.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, it was an interesting thing. Every time someone would ask me about it, I'd be like, I don't know. I don't have any tips. So that was interesting. But that's why whenever I think of that book, I think about you because.
You should have just said. Okay, check it out. Put on Lover's Call. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
That's it.
Then I would have gotten a call from somebody going, you should have talked more.
I learned it from all the old guys on the block. They taught me everything I know.
Whenever I think of that book, I think about you because I think I met you with Paul Miles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we met at in New York.
Webster Hall.
Yeah, yeah. So that was great. No, I always remembered that.
And you guys lit the place up, man. You guys totally lit it up.
Thank you so much, man. Thanks. Well, cool, man. This has been awesome. I'm very happy about this. Cool. Yeah, man.
Thank you very much.
It's great.
Awesome. All right, Danko. Thanks a ton, man.
Thanks, AC.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.